online throughout August on the BBC. And on BBC Radio 3, daily Queen's Hall recitals from the Edinburgh International Festival itself.
One of Edinburgh's loveliest music venues.
3 weeks of amazing music making for mid-morning festival goers.
Coffee, a croissant and a concert, the order of the day.
Music from Edinburgh favourites and from stars of the future. Weekday mornings with Jamie McDougall, Marianne Kennedy and, to start the season, Donald MacLeod.
Great string quartet, as I imagine. You've never heard it before. I know I never have.
The Edinburgh International Festival on BBC Radio 3. Weekday mornings at 11 o'clock.
BBC Radio 3 is on 90 to 93 FM, on digital radio and also online. It's just gone 1 o'clock and this is David Cornett with a summary of the news. The Chief Constable of Northern Ireland, Matt Baggett, has said his officers have spoken with community leaders in County Tyrone and he's hopeful that a Republican parade there this afternoon will pass off peacefully. Tensions remain high following Friday night's rioting in Belfast, in which 56 officers were injured during violence with loyalist protesters. The Northern Ireland Secretary, Theresa Villiers, has urged organisers to call off today's event, saying it would cause great hurt to the victims of terrorism. Plans have been approved by the Israeli government to build more than 1,000 apartments in occupied Palestinian areas in East Jerusalem and the West Bank. The decision by the country's housing minister was announced 3 days before high-level peace talks resume in Jerusalem. The Palestinian president, Mahmoud Abbas, previously said the talks couldn't proceed without a freeze to settlement building. New figures suggest that the value of workers' wages in the UK has suffered one of the sharpest falls across the European Union. According to statistics from the House of Commons Library, real wages, which include the impact of inflation, have fallen by 5.5% since the middle of 2010. The Treasury says the government has taken action to help with the cost of living, such as increasing the amount people can earn before they pay tax. The two main candidates in next month's general election in Australia have been taking part in their first televised debate. The leader of the Conservative opposition coalition, Tony Abbott, rejected a claim made by the Labour Prime Minister, Kevin Rudd, that his policy of sending immigrants to Papua New Guinea had stopped asylum seekers reaching Australia. The struggling economy was the other main topic for discussion. Cricket. A short time ago, England was 17 for 1 at the start of their second innings in the fourth Ashes Test at Chesterley Street. They'd bowled Australia out for 270. The tourists have a lead of 32. And the weather, scattered showers and sunny spells will continue across Northern Ireland, Scotland and Northern England, with some heavier rain and possibly thunder over Northern Scotland. Elsewhere, it'll be largely dry and bright. BBC News and Weather at 3 minutes past one. And time now for the Early Music Show, presented by Catherine Bott.
Hello. Here in York, we may be just about to experience the hottest day of the year. And at the National Centre for Early Music, the metaphorical heat is on, as 10 ambitious and talented ensembles play to win the 2013 York Early Music International Young Artists Competition. Competitions are often declared to be a necessary evil, but this one is different. There are no eliminating rounds. Each group has already presented an informal concert to a large and discerning festival audience, with compere and coach singer Richard Jackson offering tips and wrinkles to help the performers make the most of today's opportunity to impress a distinguished panel of judges, who are harpsichordist and conductor Lawrence Cummings, Bart de Meut, director of the International Centre for the Study of Music in the Low Countries, record producer Philip Hobbs, viol virtuoso Wieland Koken, and composer Stevie Wishart. The winning ensemble will receive a cheque for £1,000, a recording contract, and a recital at next year's Early Music Festival. The Friends of the Festival also present a prize, and for the first time, there's a prize for the most promising European player or players presented in association with the European Union Baroque Orchestra Development Trust. So there's lots to play for. And it is, by the way, all about playing this year. There are no singers in the competition. Past winners include Florilegium, the Palladian Ensemble, Mary Lawson. The atmosphere here, though, is always one of friendly rivalry rather than cutthroat combat. And another memorable feature is that it isn't only the winners who go on to do good things. Stile Antico, come to mind, awarded the Friends Prize a few years ago. This competition is a wonderful way to take the temperature of the future of early music performance. In today's Early Music Show, a chance to hear something from all 10 competing ensembles. So, now it's time for me to go inside and take my seat in the audience, and I'll be coming up with a few thoughts of my own during the day. But now, here is the competition's Master of Ceremonies, Richard Jackson.
The York Early Music International Young Artists Competition starts here. So welcome to everybody here at the National Centre for Early Music in York. Our first group is Ensemble Daimonion from Switzerland.
Thank you.
ensemble Daimonion from Switzerland. The second group to appear in the finals of the competition is from Germany, an oboe band, which was once a regular feature of the European Baroque. The group call themselves On Air. The oboe band On Air from Germany in music by Telemann, and before them, Switzerland's Ensemble Daimonion with diminutions on music by Palestrina. Ensemble Daimonion, whose name comes from the Socratic concept of the incorruptible inner voice, got the day off to a flying start They want it in their programme to demonstrate the flamboyant richness and beauty of the music of early 17th century Italy. For me, Ensemble Daimonion played with tremendous commitment for this very, very demanding and histrionic repertoire from the early days of Baroque music in Italy. A little bit more throwing caution to the winds and a bit more dynamic contrast would have been welcome, but they do rejoice in a fabulous cornetto player, Andrea Inghisciano, who is a player to be listened out for. On Air were a lively bunch. They weren't afraid of taking a few risks. There were several different kinds of oboes, and they swapped around. Their bassoonist only played the bassoon, and very well too. But I loved the way they tackled these arrangements of music, largely, in such a fearless way. They weren't afraid to make the odd squawk, weren't afraid to play quite loudly as if they were playing out of doors. So those are some of my thoughts, but much more importantly, what are the judges thinking and what are they looking for? Chairman of the judging panel, harpsichordist and conductor Lawrence Cummings.
I think for a winner, what you look for as a panel is communication. That really is the sum of it all. Of course, this is an early music competition. All the competitors will be expected to have done their research, be playing with the right equipment, the right bows, the right stringing, etc. And, of course, have studied their treatises and know which way to trill and which way to ornament. But, of course, that's just the starting blocks, really. And one thing that all the treatises agree on, they may disagree about many, many things on the way, but they always agree that the duty of the musician is to move the soul of the listener. And that's what we're looking for today. We want to be moved, we want to be stimulated, we want to be taken on a journey that will actually, hopefully, transform us and leave us as better individuals.
Well, we've now got three groups. We are travelling to Paris in the company of Ensemble Versailles. They are a flute quartet, the Duo Domenico, who are named for Domenico Gabrieli, whose published works first use the word violoncello. And I'm going to introduce the first one. They are a Danish recorder and organ duo already set up here, and they're called the Duo 1702.
Thank you.
Three more young ensembles from the 2013 York Early Music International Young Artists Competition. Duo 1702 from Denmark, playing the minuet and variations from the second sonata by Danish composer Morten Reis. Ensemble Versailles, an international lineup based in Germany with music from Telemann's Sixth Paris Quartet, and the last movement of a sonata for two cellos by Boccherini, played by Duo Domenico from the UK. Duo 1702, the first of three duo acts in today's competition, they wanted to celebrate Danish composers. In fact, they chose music by two Danish composers who'd studied in Germany and whose music was apparently based on rational principles and purity of expression, which for me was slightly the problem with their repertoire. It was charming and performed with considerable finesse and evidence of rapport between the two players, but it was slight and gallant and charming, and there wasn't really much more to it. We went on to an acknowledged and extremely satisfying masterpiece, Ensemble Versailles, playing just one work, one of Telemann's Paris quartets. It's all about taking the best from different national styles. But for my money, the gestures need to be bigger. There needs to be more light and shade and more sense of spaciousness in the playing. Once again, a group of tremendous excellence. In fact, throughout this competition, we are now taking technical expertise for granted in a way that even perhaps 10 or 15 years ago we couldn't. So this is splendid. But now I really wanted some more daring, a sense of risk-taking, the big gesture. This is France in 1737. However, we did get the big gesture and lots of playing courage from Duo Domenico from the UK, Jonathan Rees and Vladimir Waltham, who've named themselves after Domenico Gabrielli, Gabrielli with two L's, a pioneer of the cello. Their playing was spacious. It did take risks. It was obvious that their teamwork was very finely honed. They also wrote, "This is unashamedly music for bodies, human muscle and bone on gut, horsehair and wood." And they proved that. That Boccherini sonata was really enjoyable. You're listening to the Early Music Show with me, Catherine Bott, at the York Early Music Festival. It's the last day and I'm eavesdropping on the Early Music International Young Artists Competition.
Thank you.
the Thalia Ensemble, a wind quintet from the Netherlands who specialise in playing on period instruments. And after them, Der Musikalische Garten from Germany, followed by a Dutch recorder ensemble who call themselves Seldom Seen.
Thank you.
Dutch recorder quintet, seldom seen, playing from a concerto for five flutes by Boismortier. Before them, Der Musikalische Garten from Germany, two violins and continuo in a sarabande, and the finale from Partia No. 1 by Bieber. And first, music from a wind quintet by Danzi, played by the Thalia Ensemble from the Netherlands. Hearing the Thalia Ensemble's very enjoyable programme really reminded me of the difficulty that judges have with competitions. These wind quintets are almost 200 years on from the early Baroque diminutions we heard this morning. By this time, composers were annotating their works with instructions about dynamics, phrasing, articulation, so there's much more of a sense of players needing to follow the composer's wishes rather than impose their own taste. So the challenges here are mainly, I suppose, playing impeccably together, beautiful tuning, and mastery of their period instruments, all of which they did indeed manage. It was an interesting repertoire. Nice to hear these wind quintets. Now, Der Musikalische Garten, the musical garden from Germany, they were employing a lot of scordatura in their Bieber. And scordatura, quick definition in case anybody's forgotten, is the retuning of strings to simplify the production of intensely resonant, colourful chords or intervals. Bieber was a bit of a specialist at this. And I must say, I really enjoyed the way this ensemble dug in and went for it. There were lots of dynamic contrast, lots of space when the drama required it. That was a very enjoyable performance. And finally, the five ladies of the Dutch recorder quintet, Seldom Seen, so named after a piece by Christopher Tye. Theirs was a hugely imaginative programme of Spanish, French and English music from Talis to Boismortier, from Renaissance recorder to employing voice flutes. Some of this repertoire, obviously, as always with recorders, wasn't originally written for the instrument, but I very much enjoyed their imaginative choice of music. They were exceptionally well-tuned, whether on Renaissance recorders or their voice flutes. They also played from memory, and I don't think that's part of the judging criteria, but I do wonder if it helped create an extra atmosphere in the hall. There's no necessity, but it was very attractive. And another thing that helped them create an atmosphere, they stood to play. But unlike a lot of ensembles who stand to play, they didn't bob up and down, creating that seasick feeling that audiences often get. So all praise to them for that. But now to the final two groups in the 2013 York International Young Artists Competition.
Repico is the next one, and the name refers to a quick strumming movement on a guitar. Here is Repico. Thank you.
the last group to play in the biennial Young Artists Competition at the 2013 York Early Music Festival. That was Les Mélomanes from the United Kingdom. Their name means mad about music, and they were certainly keen on that trio sonata by Telemann. Before them, the British duo Repico with a Courante from the suite in A major. That's a collaboration between Sylvius Leopold Weiss and Johann Sebastian Bach. The violin part is unmistakably by Bach, and actually, putting Bach in your programme is never wrong. He helps you an awful lot. The lute part is by Weiss. It's originally a solo sonata. And really, the whole was more than the sum of the parts. There's a spot of real alchemy here. They drew us in and conjured up Bach and Weiss meeting and playing together in Dresden, as they apparently did. So, 10 groups playing instrumental music of sundry kinds, covering about 250 years of the early music period. Meanwhile, you can find a list of all today's performers on the Radio 3 website. There's been lots to enjoy all day, and I think I can say with a fair amount of confidence that we'll be hearing much more from most of the individual players in the future, with or without the ensembles who've performed in York today. It's all very subjective, of course. I've got my views, I bet you've got yours. But it's the judges who are all important. Lawrence Cummings, chair of the panel, announces the winners.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you. What a wonderful day we've had, haven't we? Fantastic. Such wonderful, fabulous, joyful music making from everybody. The winner of the York Early Music Competition 2013 is Talia.
Talia Ensemble, worthy winners of the 2013 York International Young Artists Competition. The winners of the first York European Union Baroque Orchestra Development Trust Prize are Der Musikalische Garten, and the prize presented by the Friends of the York Early Music Festival went to Duo Domenico. Well, here are the worthy winners. Talia Ensemble from the Netherlands, and with me are Belen, Sarah, Diederik, Hilke and José. Diederik, clarinetist, let's start with you. You did some good talking during the competition itself, so you are the victim. It's a very simple question. What does winning this competition mean to you?
Well, I think for us as an ensemble, it will just be a fantastic impulse to go on, like we are doing now, and to go further and make a recording. It's going to be fantastic, yeah.
Sarah, what music are you going to put on the recording? Have you decided?
We are so overwhelmed by this, winning the prize. So we never talked about it, actually. But, for sure, some of the pieces we played these days. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Okay, everybody's nodding. You look as if you all agree. Belen, yes. I really enjoyed your playing. Did you enjoy playing to all of us today?
Thank you very much. Oh, yes, I had lots of fun. It's always a different experience and this place was very inspiring and I felt a very nice atmosphere, which I was very happy about. And I was feeling more that we were sharing music. I particularly I think I'm not the only one that has a bit of a problem, let's say, with the word competition, because music is for sharing and we are all musicians who are sharing with others. And I felt we could do this here. So I played in that sense, sharing with people, and I had lots of fun, so I'm thankful.
Thank you very much, and congratulations, Talia Ensemble.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Music for Wind Quintet by Antonín Recha, played on period instruments by the Thalia Ensemble, the winners of the 2013 York Early Music International Young Artists Competition. Today's Early Music Show was presented by Catherine Bott and produced by Chris Wines.
It hasn't been heard at the proms in more than 35 years. Sir Michael Tippett's opera, The Midsummer Marriage, his answer to Mozart's The Magic Flute. The tale of two couples tested by a series of supernatural interventions on the shortest night of the year. Conducted by one of today's leading exponents of Tippett's music, Sir Andrew Davis, The Midsummer Marriage. On Friday at 6:30 on BBC Radio 3.
Well now, another chance to hear the first of two proms given this year by the Bavarian Radio Symphony Orchestra and Maris Janssens last Thursday evening. It's presented by Christopher Cook.
Welcome to a prom that was just about a sellout by the end of the first day's booking. Tonight, the hall is fit to burst, marina to gallery. Our colleagues from BBC 4 Television are here, and you can feel the excitement racing up the thermometer. And no wonder, the Bavarian Radio Symphony Orchestra, being applauded as they come on stage here, are going to give us Hector Berlioz's Symphonie Fantastique, conducted by their chief conductor, Maris Janssens. And the pianist, Mitsuko Uchida, is back at the proms for the first time in over 20 years, playing Beethoven's fourth piano concerto. Written between 1804 and 1806, this concerto breaks all the rules. It begins with the piano on its own and not with the orchestra preparing the way for the soloist. And then in the second movement, soloists have their work cut out, calming an increasingly aggressive orchestra. Everyone tells you that the fourth is every pianist's favourite Beethoven concerto, but not tonight's soloist, Mitsuko Uchida.
All five are blocked. One is an official-looking piece, I think. So grand. But a number two, which is much more personal. And then there is a big leap from there to the third concerto, C minor. And then there is another leap from that to this one, as if he had found another way of expressing himself, another world, another inner world, an outer world, way of feeling life, feeling whatever it is to be alive.
The beginning of the concerto is quite extraordinary because it reverses the classical expectation of the orchestra providing a suitable introduction to usher the pianist in. It begins with you, the pianist.
Yes, exactly. And the orchestra continues so completely unexpectedly. There is a pause and the orchestra comes in. The strings come in and the chill runs down your back. So it must be.
Are you going to play your own or Beethoven's cadenzas?
No. There is a Beethoven cadenza. Yeah, both movements, and they're glorious.
And is that a choice you always make when you play this concerto?
Absolutely, because this is the solid, the cadenza.
Mitsuko Uchida, the soloist at tonight's BBC Prom. And here indeed is Mitsuko Uchida with Maris Janssens. To play a performance of Beethoven's fourth piano concerto, the Bavarian Radio Symphony Orchestra, led by Anton Barakowski.
Thank you.
Thank you.